thank choir and our worship team. What a blessing to come on Sunday. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I want to be with my church family, my friends, worshiping the Lord, and I love hearing our choir and worship team and Pastor Nick lead us in worship. And those songs, I just loved them. I love some of the new arrangements we sang of some very familiar hymns. And now, the key was so high, I about sung myself out. I don't know that I have anything left to preach, but I'm going to give it the old college try here. And I love that. I love the fact that when we say we're going to shout our praises to God, we really mean it. And I appreciate that. Let's lift a voice. Let's let it be known. Let's sing out. So today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 6 and 7, and I'm just going to let the Spirit lead here. I've got enough for a 55-minute sermon, but I got a slot for 35 minutes. So we're going to see how this goes. But I hope you'll take your Bibles, open your hearts, and look at God's Word. Today we're going to look at the model of a Spirit-filled man. We're in this part of Acts, the beginning of Acts, where the church is empowered now by God the Spirit. You and I cannot do what God calls us to do without God doing it through us. We need His presence and power to accomplish His purpose for our life. You can't do it on your own. You can't be saved. You can't be sanctified. You cannot be glorified apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we surely can't do the work of God without God working through us. It is yielding your life to the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Today, I want us to look at a man named Stephen. His story is found in two long chapters of the book of Acts, chapter 6 and chapter 7. We're going to look at selected passages. The question I have for you today is, what are you full of? What are you full of today? Some of you came here full of doubt. Doubt about your future. Can you make it? How will you make it? Some of you are filled with anxiety. You haven't eaten. You can't sleep. When you try to eat, you feel worse. You're in anxiety and you're full of it to the very brim. Some of you are angry. You're full of rage, and every time you turn on social media or you turn on the news, it just seems to feed that rage, and you're so mad. And it's spilling out into your relationships, and you don't even know it. And some of you are filled with apathy. You hear me preach about these passions. It hasn't moved your needle one bit. Your heart is dry. You haven't cried a tear in years because you checked out long time ago. You joined the I just don't care much anymore club. And you're just clocking time. You just don't care anymore. Friend, there's so much more. There's so much more today. And I hope that when you come with me to the conclusion of where God wants to send us today, that you'll have a picture of how you too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at the setting. Acts chapter 6. We've gone through Pentecost. The church has been empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're able to do miracles, but they were signs, miracles pointing to the message. What was the message? The gospel. The apostles now have turned Jerusalem upside down with the gospel. Jesus, whom you killed, was indeed the Messiah, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. The resurrection and the religious establishment is in turmoil, and they imprison the apostles, they falsely try the apostles, they beat the apostles, and yet the apostles and the church keep preaching the gospel in the same places they got in trouble, and they spread it. There is a progression of opposition from intimidation to persecution in chapter 5, which we did not cover and will not cover in this series. There is an attempt of moral corruption within. When Satan can't stop the church from without, he tries to corrupt us from within and to compromise our integrity. But they passed the test with some judgment from God. And the church continues to serve. And the church continued. They had problems, just like any new ministry starting out has problems. And they realized they needed some men, godly men of good reputation, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, to come along and take care of practical needs while the apostles kept attending and preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the first of those seven men that the church laid hands on, appointed as deacons for that purpose, was a man named Stephen. And so we realize Stephen is preaching in the synagogues. He's a layman that's preaching the gospel and teaching to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Again, just like against the apostles, they attack the layman that is preaching, and they began an assault on Stephen. And we go to the end of his story in Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 51. He has preached from Abraham through Moses, now to them, saying, you didn't listen to the prophets. Jesus is the Messiah. And he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. This is the conclusion to his sermon in chapter 7. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Today I want us to look at Stephen, a model of a spirit-filled person. He's a model for every man. He's a model for every woman who followed Jesus Christ, every young person who's given their life to Christ, every child that's given their life to Christ and received the free offer of salvation, having been convicted of their sin and turned and said, God, save me. I place my faith in Jesus Christ, not only as my Savior, but as my Master and my Lord. I will follow him, and by his help, I will worship him and serve him all the days of my life. Stephen is a model for you. He was a model of a spirit-filled man. In the story of chapter 6, going into chapter 7, we see the spiritual attack against a spirit-filled man. You and I are going to face difficulties. And here, Stephen shows us how to rely on God and not yourself when you're under spiritual attack. Now, my friend, every problem you've ever had is not a spiritual attack of the evil one. Sometimes our problems are the guy in the mirror, the lady in the mirror. We created the problem ourselves. But many times, my friend, your troubles are because you're going in the right way and the world is following the wrong way, and there is friction between you and the devil. And you're going to feel that. The first thing we see is there's an attempted claim assassination. There's an attempted claim assassination. What do I mean by that? In Acts chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freemen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." They wanted to debate and try to kill his argument that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and now you meet God through faith in Jesus, not by some religious system going to a building, going to a temple made by hands. God now comes and dwells in your heart. You are the tabernacle. You are the temple of God. Well, this just undid those religious Jews, those leaders. And they wanted to kill his arguments through debate. Now, notice something very interesting. He's teaching in these synagogues. I won't go into all of this because I need to get to the end of this message. But one thing, the reason I underline Cilicia, do you know of a Jew, a famous Jew, who appears later in this story, that was from Tarsus of Cilicia? Who was it? Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul of Tarsus. It is here where Saul decides this Stephen has got to go. Stephen is creating a problem in our synagogues, contesting and claiming that Jesus, whom we crucified, is now alive and he was the Christ. And they've turned Jerusalem against us. We've got to do something about this Stephen. Most commentators believe this is where it began, with Saul. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. They wrestled. You heard me say it right. Not wrestled. Wrestling. That's what I was raised on. It may not have been real, but it was real to me. They wrestled Stephen, but they could not resist the Holy Spirit in him and the wisdom of God's word. Friend, they may debate you, but they cannot defeat the Holy Spirit in you. You stick with the word, you stick with your testimony, and share it in love with boldness. Friend, they will debate you all day. They'll call you all kind of names. They'll try to kill your argument. You just, in love, tell the truth and share. And so, the second thing we see here is an attempted character assassination. When they could not defeat the wisdom and the spirit in Stephen, they decided to go after the messenger. And they began to try to assassinate his character. Now, this was a man in the community that was of a good reputation. In fact, in Acts chapter 6, when the church decided to pick some servants among them to take care of these practical matters in the church, the first qualification was to have a good reputation. This man had a stellar reputation. So they decided to attack it. Notice what they did in verse 11, chapter 6. "Then they secretly induced men to say, 'Isn't that just as creepy and low down?' They got off to the side. Somebody paid somebody a little bit of an inducement And they wanted them to lie. We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came to him, seized him, and brought him to the council, the Sanhedrin. And they also set up false witnesses. Notice the scripture emphasizes that. False witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place, the temple, and the law." That was their hope of salvation. Jesus did not come to destroy the law or destroy. What he came was to fulfill, to help us understand those things were just pointing to Jesus. But they felt that their system of self-righteousness was under attack, and indeed it was. Again, Stephen was not preaching against the law. He was saying Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. And in verse 15 it says, "And all who sat in the council looked steadfast at him and saw his face as the face of an angel." I love this. We are introduced to him as a man of a good reputation, full of wisdom and Holy Spirit. His reputation, integrity is attacked. A mob is stirred up, literally shaken, the word means like a volcano, creating a bunch of disruption with lies, false accusations. But look at what they saw. Did they see a man in fear? No. The Bible says when they looked at his face, it shone like he was an angel from heaven. The Shekinah glory of God was manifest in his face. Do you remember who else had that experience? Moses, when he came down, remember? Moses, when they looked on his face, it shone. Guess who else on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus. Jesus had this Shekinah glory. Stephen is only the third man ever mentioned in Scripture whose face shone with the Shekinah glory of heaven. That's why I say today, maybe a model we need to look at, amen? And then we see a third thing. At the end of the story, we indeed see what they plotted to do they accomplished, but they did not do what they thought they could do. We had an attempt to defeat his claim, to destroy his reputation, and then they accomplished a corporal assassination. They killed the body. In chapter 7:59, "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, Master Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down, cried out with a loud voice so they could all hear, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." The verse I read earlier says before they started throwing the stones, Stephen gazed up to heaven, and he saw the glory of God and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father. His gaze in the midst of crisis was up. Look up. Too often we're tempted to look out. Look out! Trouble is here. Look out! Where's the escape route? Look out! What's going to happen? Look out! No, friend, look up. Don't gaze at your problem. Gaze at your Savior. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing in the throne room. Jesus has always pictured the Son of God here called the Son of Man. Here he sees Jesus standing. Jesus is always written as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Seated, finished, established, ready to judge the world. But here it's, the Bible says Jesus stood up and he's ready to welcome and greet the first Christian martyr, the first martyr of the church, the first one that probably heard Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been over a few little things on earth. Now you will be over great things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen home. Yes, they came after him. Say, "Pastor, how in the world could I ever do something like that?" My friend, you cannot overcome some persecution like that because you have some great constitution, or you're a person of such great discipline, or you have such dedication. No, my friend, our flesh is weak. Paul said, "In my weakness, Jesus was my strength." Just go ahead and admit it. We're weak. But if you're a sincere believer of Christ, you, like the martyrs recorded in Revelation, know the secret of overcoming great persecution. Persecution against the faith. Persecution against your witness for Christ. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. I heard an old preacher say it this way. Daniel had to go in the lion's den, but he made a decision. "I don't have to come out of the lion's den for God to be God of my life. That's up to the Lord. I have to go in, but I don't have to come out." Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, had to go into the fiery furnace. But they made a decision. "I don't have to come out for God to be God of my life. That's up to Him. I had to go in, but I don't have to come out." And here we have Stephen. Stephen had to face the stoning. He had to go into the stoning. But he chose, "I don't have to come out for Jesus to still be Lord of my life. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." Do you know what the secret is to overcoming persecution? Placing your faith in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. Why? They did it to Him first. And the word of your testimony that on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, and He was just the first among many. And what God did for Jesus, He will do for me, and He will do for you. The word of your testimony. But it also means you do not love your life more than you love Jesus, even if it's unto death. You will trust God. That, my friend, is how you overcome great persecution. A model of a man. You can kill the messenger, but you can't kill the message. I put it this way. You can't kill a dead man. When you die to this world, When you die to the things that all the world can do, they can kill the body, they cannot kill your soul. When you die to the powers of this world, when you die trying to impress people, when you die trying to worry about what other people think about you, when you just praise God and live for Him and are alive to the Lord and dead to this world, they can't kill a dead man. Go ahead and try. Because I've already died to that. What Jesus gave you will never be taken away. They didn't give it to you, and they can't take it from you. Live on, dear Christian. Rejoice, O Christian. Look up and gaze at heaven and see the glory of God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of the Father, ready to greet you too one day. Why are we just so timid? Why are we not bold? My friend, I'm telling you, we ain't got much time left. There's not enough time left. We need to be about the Father's business. Now, didn't I say I was going to get on to the end of this? Well, we're going to just skip ahead. There are spiritual attributes of the Spirit-filled man. I've already preached on this, so if you want to know them, it's right there in the Bible. If you want them concisely, get your phone out and take a picture. Ready? One, full of the Spirit. Two, person of good reputation. Three, full of faith. Some translation, grace and power. But I love this one. He's full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. These are attributes of a Spirit-filled person. Lady, gentleman, follower of Christ, Stephen is a model. These are gifts God gives, attributes. He wasn't born with these things. He was born again with these things. Amen? Okay, now, the spiritual actions. God does not give you these attributes for you to sit on a pew and do nothing with them and just talk about them and study them and then study them some more and then talk about how you've studied them. At some point, you're called to put it into action. Amen? We are called. He did signs and wonders. Why? They all pointed to the message of the gospel. He got their attention. God used him, gave him them, just like the apostles. Listen, laymen, this idea, we can't do what preachers do. My friend, we all have our role, but you and I get all the same Holy Spirit. You can preach. You can teach. You can heal. You can minister. You say, wait a minute, are you talking about miraculous healing? I'm telling you, I believe God can still do whatever He desires to do anytime, any place. But let me tell you something, there's a lot of people with broken hearts today that need a healing touch from a loving, caring Christian that will be willing to go right up into their mess and say, I'm here for you. I know you're hurting. Let me pray with you and let's trust the power of God to heal your broken heart. I'm telling you, my friend, that is a need today, and you may have that gift of compassion and mercy. It can do a healing work today. Now, he was a man of the spoken word. Spoken word. When he preached that sermon in chapter 7, he's quoting from Genesis. He's quoting from Exodus. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. He's quoting from Amos. He's quoting from Isaiah. He was not giving his opinion. He was not giving his interpretation. He was not just wanting to add another argument in the debate of religious people. He was quoting the Word of God. He was a man of the spoken Word. And he was a person of sacred communion. He lived in the presence of God. He lived in the presence of God. Today, you're going to ask with me, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to try to do something here that I hope communicates in a practical way, in a visual way. And it's based on the principle of John the Baptist's life verse. John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. So I have some visuals with me today. We'll start right there. And then I have some help. And I want you to know that the first principle of being filled with the Spirit is you must decrease. You must decrease. Remember when I asked you, what are you full of today? You say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to minister, to care, to live in freedom, that if the worst thing had ever happened to me, I'd be going to glory, looking up at the Son of God, standing at the right, ready to welcome me home, and I would be just forgiving everybody that I could forgive. The last thing on my lips was, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Lord, save them, save them, save them. Love them, love them, love them. Lord, don't hold this against them, Father. Save them. That'd be the last thing coming out of my heart, would be Jesus. Because the first step to be filled with the Holy Spirit is for you and I to empty ourselves of our pride. Why doesn't anybody notice me? Our conceit, our envy, our malice, our unforgiveness, all that ugliness and darkness of the self. Friend, if you want to be filled, a vessel to be used by God, God is not going to compete with all of that in your heart. You and I must empty ourselves of all of that darkness, all of that putrid attitudes and corruption, all of that, I'm just marking time and apathy, and God's put you in the most blessed God-grace nation in the world, and we're complaining, complaining, complaining. Don't you think that needs to come out? 1 John 1:9, written to Christian people, so that you may know that you have eternal life. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, you and I need to just have a good old altar call and say, God, forgive me. I'm ready to get this dependency on the world out of my heart. I've been focusing far more on trying the world to make me happy than just being content in you. And I confess it. Get it out, that old darkness. Oh, but now comes the good part. God don't want to leave you empty. It's so simple. Then you just open that heart. You open your soul. And you say, oh, Holy Spirit, pour. Pour. Your pure love and power into my heart. Pour your entire being, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill me till I want no more. Fill me with you. You and I have the opportunity, but first we must empty ourselves. And then we must yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, His teaching us the things of Jesus and empowering us to do it. Teaching and then empowering us to tell it. Stephen lived up to his name. Stephen means crown. Stephanos, is the Greek word. It's a transliteration. You don't have to know much Greek to figure out Stephen comes from Stephanos, do you? But there are two crowns in the Greek language. One is diadem. It's the royal crown. Crown him with many crowns. What do we cast? We cast the diadems. That's the royal crown. This is that little crown they gave to athletes when they won a contest. It's a little olive branch. They'd make it into a little round crown, and the judge would give them this crown. They'd be crowned with the Stephanos. One of people who finished the race, they get the crown. And so Stephen, like Paul, finished the race. Paul said to Timothy, I've been in a long race for Jesus. Yes, I started hating Stephen so much, I was there at his stoning. They laid the clothes of Stephen at the feet, the stoners laid their clothes at the feet of Saul, this persecutor of the church. And then on the Damascus Road, Saul becomes Paul and saved, and that great missionary. Paul said, it's been a long journey, and I'm now at the end. And he said, I'm a drink offering now being poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the Stephanos, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. The picture I have of Paul and of Stephen at the end of their life, they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they offered their life as a poured out drink offering right back to God. Every drop, their life was poured back as an offering of praise to God. Today, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you ministering in his power, or are you trying to rely on yourself? Great things for God can be done, but we must have the great God in us to do them. Yield to him. Yield to him. And you too can be a model of a spirit-filled person. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, have your way, O Lord. Do your holy work in our life. I pray, Father, even now, that you would do things for us that we could not even imagine. That, Lord, we would be willing to pour out today the worldliness of our heart that may have crept in. And that you would create in us a clean vessel that we could receive the power, the fullness. We know, Lord, we know that you are with us. It's not a once in a life. It's not, we know, but Lord, we want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want to be completely under your direction and influence and power. So fill us today. Father, some people here need to be saved. They've never turned to you in faith. Others may need a church home. Some people here may be being called to the mission field or to ministry. Others, Lord, we're struggling. Would you help us? Would you help us, Lord? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing this great song of faith.